special campaign series on We the People, Every Woman's Battle. For the last 1 month, we have focused on the issues that relate not just to the safety of women in our country, but also how we as a people look at women, how we as a people look at young girls, how we as a people bring up not just our daughters, but our sons. After a month, I think, of national outrage and anger and grief, we finally have some reason to hope. The Justice J.S. Verma-led three-member committee, of which two very eminent members are with us here in the studio, Gopal Subramanian and Justice Leela Seth, both of them are here to take questions from a young audience, because it was, as the committee acknowledged, the protest and the voice of the young that really brought about this inflection point in history. It is a far-reaching report, it is liberal, it is humane, it is compassionate, and it acknowledges many elephants in the room. And all we the people today, we are asking whether the government would finally respond with both sensitivity and promptness. Gopal Subramanian, if I may start with you. The ball is clearly in the government's court. You have submitted this report in a record 29 days. So I imagine neither of you have slept very much at all. Are you happy with the response you've got from the government thus far? Because somehow one would have imagined that it would have been at the highest level of government that this report would have been received by the Prime Minister himself. Instead, this report was submitted to the Home Ministry, giving it a sort of routine protocol like it was any other report, which it was clearly not.
Well, as far as giving it to the Prime Minister is concerned, I think there's some sort of impression which has been gaining ground that there was a breach of protocol. Nothing of the kind. In fact, Chief Justice Verma indicated to the officers of the Home Ministry that having held the office of a Chief Justice of India, he would address a communication only to the Prime Minister of India. We had absolutely no response from the side of the government.
Like, you mean there was silence?
There was silence. And to be fair to the Prime Minister, I don't even know whether he got to receive this information. Then afterwards, I think there was a message suggesting that Justice Verma should go to the office of the Home Minister and offer the report. And Justice Verma, again, consistent with a previous precedent when he was a judge who was inquiring into the lapses of security which led to the assassination of Rajiv Gandhi, said that that is also not the precedent followed, in which event it is presented to somebody in the Home Ministry by a senior officer of the committee, and which in our case was really the counsel for the committee. Then we were told that somebody from the Home Ministry of the rank of a secretary to the government of India would be coming and receiving the report. So accordingly we assembled. Anyway, be that as it may, a joint secretary turned up, it's all right.
But listening to you, what yes. I'm hearing is that familiar miles of red tape that unfortunately weigh our system down. Wouldn't it have been better, more symbolic, had the Prime Minister received this report?
Well, I mean, to give the benefit of doubt, I think, to the Prime Minister, I don't know whether he was fully apprised in the first place. So we hardly, you know, we didn't worry about this. As long as we gave the report to a person for onward transmission to the Prime Minister, our job was complete. I want to make it clear that we are not pessimistic as yet. After all, the government, knowing that there were three independent and somewhat robust personalities, obviously knew what the report was likely to be. And we also made it clear to the government that we are not going to take even a 24-hour extension. So we wanted to actually, you know, sort of demonstrate it by preponing it by 24 hours so that it is a record time within which we could give this report. We felt we owed it to the people of India to give our answers in as clear, as tangible, and as empirical terms as possible.
Well, let's start with something, Justice Leela Seth, that your report looks at, that for far too long, not just our lawmakers, but we as a people have looked away from. The issue of marital rape. And your report talks about how, in a sense, this notion that somehow what goes on between a husband and a wife should be exempt from law goes back to an archaic idea that when a woman marries a man, she is his property.
Most people think that once you get married, consent is presumed. The fact that you're married, that means you can have sex with your wife whenever and however you like to have it. And that's not true. That's not true for a woman's body. That's not true for a woman's identity. When she gets married, she doesn't become his chattel. So it's very clear that she must have the right to consent at each occasion when sex is demanded from a man. I mean, if she wants sex, then she can also ask for it. But the question is, it should be consent on both sides.
And how do you foresee this suggestion of yours being accepted by a culture that is politically conservative? And I say that because although your report and this has been so heartening for so many people, acknowledges, for example, the freedom of people to choose their sexual orientation, we are still not in a country where homosexuality has been decriminalized. We are in that politically conservative a culture. Now, in that culture, do you foresee your suggestion that marital rape can no longer be exempt from the eye of the law, something that you believe our lawmakers will accept?
Well, I mean, it's our recommendation.
Yes.
We hope they will accept our recommendation. The thing is that marital rape in other countries has also come in 1991, I think, in England and thereafter in other countries. Yeah. But earlier, there also it was thought that women were chattel, women were the property of the man.
Yeah.
But slowly it has come in other countries, so I don't see why it shouldn't come in. Why should a woman be abused or disabused over and over again if she doesn't want it?
Absolutely.
I mean, she must have a right to say so.
Now, the new bill, which will of course be open to changes, that has been introduced in the Lok Sabha, Gopal Subramanian, does not acknowledge marital rape. And at the moment, under the law, it's only, the relationship is only recognized as marital rape if a girl is under 15. Now, your report talks about how marital rape must not be treated with leniency compared to other kinds of rape. That there could be a tendency in a judge to say, this is between a husband and wife. And I think the time has come to assert the autonomy of women over their own bodies.
I wish to share with the audience that this really is the way we went into this entire task. We began with rape, but then what we did was we had a construct of a rape victim, an accused, and the protector, the so-called law enforcer in between. Then we looked at all the aspects of attack on the victim, the trauma, the suffering, the need for rehabilitation, and we correlated it to different constitutional rights. And then we realized that in respect of an attack of rape on a woman, it is not simply a crime, it's not simply an offense against, let us say, the human body. It is in a certain sense targeted because of the gender. There is also a simultaneous negation, shall we say, of constitutional rights, which, according to us, which is the theme of this entire report, is about the autonomy of the woman in respect of her body. Rape, therefore, then becomes a symbolic, shall we say, subjugation. But it is also a constitutional overpowering, which we felt we had to correct.
We're going to hear from somebody who has actually experienced a little bit of what you're talking about in their own marriage. Sitting here with me is somebody who has chosen to tell her story in her own words. Anjum, aaj aap Mumbai se aayi hain aur aapne apni shaadi mein kafi saha, kafi aapke saath ek tarah se anyay hua hai aur aapne jab humse baat ki to aapne hame bataya ki aapke jo pati the wo aapse zabardasti sexual sambandh chahte the. To क्या बोलना चाहेंगी आप अपनी शादी के बारे में?
मैं अपनी शादी के बारे में, मतलब मेरी शादी 2000 में हुई है और उसके बाद से मैं बहुत ज़्यादा परेशान थी. वो मोबाइल में ब्लू फिल्म जो होती है वो लाते थे और रात में मुझे दिखाते थे और बोलते थे कि जैसा उसमें होता है वैसा ही, मतलब करने के लिए. अगर मैं वो तरीके से नहीं करती थी तो मुझको मारते थे और बहुत मारते थे, मतलब मारते थे इतना कि नाक और मुंह से भी खून निकल आता था. लेकिन फिर भी मैं, अगर सुबह होती थी मैं घर वाले को बोलती थी कि ऐसा ऐसा, मतलब मेरे साथ हुआ है ऐसा, मैं क्यों, तो घर वाले बोलते हो तुम्हारा प्रॉब्लम है तुम समझो, तो फिर मैं किसको बोलूं ये प्रॉब्लम।
तो आपकी फैमिली ने भी आपको सपोर्ट नहीं?
नहीं, मेरा सपोर्ट किसी ने नहीं किया।
सो हर हस्बैंड यूज्ड टू शो हर पोर्नोग्राफी, इंसिस्ट ऑन सेक्स लाइक इट वाज विजिबल इन दोज फिल्म्स एंड बीट हर ब्लैक एंड ब्लू इफ शी डिड नॉट कंप्लाई। कभी आपने सोचा कि आप पुलिस के पास जाए?
सोचा, लेकिन जाने को कभी मिला नहीं क्योंकि जाने नहीं देते थे हम लोग। पूरा सब घर में फैमिली रहती थी और बाहर निकलने का अलाउड नहीं था मेरे को, और मुझे मालूम भी नहीं था कि बाहर कैसे जाते हैं। शादी हुई उसके बाद ससुराल में, ससुराल से घर, घर से ससुराल, बस इतना ही था और बाहर का रास्ता मुझे मालूम भी नहीं था।
क्या कहते थे आपके हस्बैंड आपको?
मैं मतलब जाने के लिए कई बार सोची कि ऐसे जाने के लिए, लेकिन वो तो चले जाते थे मारपीट के, लेकिन घर में नंदे रहती थी तो उन लोग नहीं जाने देते थे। मैं बोलती थी नहीं जाने के लिए, तो मैं कई बार ऐसे गुस्से में आई और जहर खा ली मैंने कि मतलब मेरे साथ इतना जुल्म होता है, मेरे से बर्दाश्त नहीं होता, मैं नहीं कर सकती हूँ, से बेहतर मरना ही बेहतर है, मैं ये सब मतलब मेरे से नहीं बर्दाश्त है। जब मैं घर में बोलती हूँ तो घर वाले बोलते हैं तुम्हारा शोहर तुम समझो, तो फिर फायदा क्या है किसको बोल के, कौन सुनने वाला, कोई भी समझने वाला नहीं। अब 12 साल हो गया शादी होके, आज वो सहते सहते नहीं नहीं बोलते बोलते उस आदमी ने आज दूसरी शादी भी कर लिया है।
जस्ट सेड, इज दिस व्हाट यू होप दैट टुमारो इफ योर रिकमेंडेशंस आर एक्सेप्टेड दैट समबडी लाइक अंजुम can walk into a police station, have the recognition that what she's talking about is a violation. Because today when she walks in, chances are that the law is silent, nobody will even accept her FIR.
No, it's actually for women like this that I think that marital rape is essential. Because it's what she says, zulm hai. Actually that's the word, the correct word is zulm, which is used. I think it's really horrendous that a woman should be, you know, treated in that kind of way. And abused, it's really nothing else but a proper kind assaulted and abused. It really makes me feel really upset when I hear it, and I think that this is the reason why we feel that marital rape should be there. After all, women who don't want to complain, who feel it's all right, but they needn't complain. But for women like her, there should be a section in the criminal, in the Indian Penal Code, where she should have some kind of recourse.
Now,
can I just add a footnote? For people like Anjum, it's not only the offense of marital rape which is going to help her. We have also got what is called a Bill of Rights for Women at the back.
Yeah.
And you will find that one of the important clauses is that she can walk out of that house and enter what is called a secure space for women, where she will be protected, where she can lead her own life. So really, you have to look at these definitions also in the context of our declaration of what we call as a charter of the rights of women. And we have drawn on the best experiments in the world. We have added some of our own components. But one of the most important things is that, you see, when Parliament legislates, like the Protection Against Domestic Violence Act, which talked about secure spaces, but in reality we have no secure spaces. Yeah. Now, for instance, in a village, you would have no secure spaces. Now, therefore, we decided we must have a concrete charter of Bill of Women's Rights, one of which is in planning, you are going to have secure spaces for women.
Yeah.
When you actually have Anjum, she can walk out, register an FIR, and she can go and actually lead a safe life in a secure
space. Well, I think we're all waiting to see if these recommendations are accepted and implemented. One of the other very, I would say, watershed recommendations in your report is to expand the right to private defense to those who are acid attack victims. And sitting on my right is somebody, we've spoken about stalking, how stalking is often the beginning of horrendous sexual crimes, and it is sometimes treated very lightly in our country today. Sitting next to me is a young woman who was first stalked for 4 years by a man, somebody who was obsessed with the idea of being in a relationship with her. She never entertained those overtures. And then one day, he walked into her house, hurled acid at her face, and changed her life forever. Archana, kya hua aapke saath?
Main UP se hu, UP Bulandshahr jile se. और मेरा एक बहुत छोटा सा गांव है, मैं दुल्हरा गांव से हूँ। मेरा नाम अर्चना है, मेरा परिवार बहुत छोटा सा है, हमारे परिवार में सिर्फ 4 मेंबर हैं, मेरे मम्मी पापा और एक मेरा छोटा भाई है। तो एक सामने हमारे घर के सामने एक लड़का रहता है, अपनी बहन के पास वो रहता है। तो मुझसे लगातार मतलब बदतमीजी करता है, कभी लेटर डालता है, कभी कुछ बोलता है, तो इस तरीका से वो मुझसे बदतमीजी करता है। ये सन 2004 की बात है। तो तब मैं 11वीं क्लास में पढ़ती थी। तो उसके बाद वो 3 साल बाद वो बोलता है कि तुम मुझसे शादी करो। तो मैंने उसको मना किया कि देखो मैं शादी नहीं कर सकती हूँ, और तुम एक शराबी लड़के हो, ना ही मेरा मन है, मैं इस बात से बिल्कुल अलग हूँ, और ना हमारी फैमिली ऐसी है, और मैं इस टाइप की लड़की नहीं हूँ। तो वो लड़का नहीं मानता है। मैं 3 महीने से, मेरी मम्मी बीमार थी, घर में कोई भी नहीं था, तो मैं अकेली, मैं और मेरे पापा घर में थे। मम्मी का एम्स से इलाज चलता है, तो मम्मी वहां पे थी, हॉस्पिटल गई थी, तो मैं अकेली थी। तो इस वजह से मैं अपनी बुआ जी के यहाँ पे चली गई। तो मैं 3 महीने के बाद जब वापस गांव आती हूँ, तो मुझे आए हुए 2 ही दिन होते हैं, तो 3रे दिन वो लड़का मेरे ही घर पे आके मेरे ऊपर तेजाब डाल देता है, और मेरी जिंदगी को एकदम से ऐसे बदल देता है कि जैसे आसमान एकदम जमीन पे उतर आया हो। क्योंकि हमने ना ही तो कभी ऐसा केस देखा है कि तेजाब से भी जलते हैं। मैं गांव से की रहने वाली लड़की हूँ, तो मैंने कभी इस तरीका का केस नहीं देखा है।
ये बताओ मुझे अर्चना की, तब से आपने जैसे कहा आपकी पूरी जिंदगी बदल गई, एक दिन में, एक पल में पूरी जिंदगी बदल गई, तब से आपकी काफी ऑपरेशन भी हुए हैं, क्योंकि आपका फेस उसने बिल्कुल डिसफिगर कर दिया। 23 सर्जरीज हो चुकी है।
जी हाँ, मेरी 23 सर्जरियां हो चुकी है, और मेरे पापा, मेरे ही सदमे की वजह से उनको मेंटली अटैक हुआ है। वो 2 साल से मेंटल हॉस्पिटल से उनका इलाज चल रहा है, और मेरी माँ भी 2 गोली खाती हैं तो अपना जीवन व्यतीत करती हैं। मेरा जो छोटा भाई है वो हमें 3 साल से लगातार कमा के खिला रहा है। तो हम जब से मतलब अपना धन, मतलब जो भी था धनराशि, माँ के ज्वेलरी, यहाँ तक अपना जमीन भी हमने बेच दिया है।
You know, it's difficult to even listen to this, but I just want to show all of you what Archana looked like before this acid disfigured her face and changed her life. If you can look back at the screen, that's Archana. That's a young Archana, completely disfigured by this monster. I mean, there's just no other word for it. ये भी होता होगा आपके साथ कि लोगों का व्यवहार, बाकी लोग वो आपका दर्द अक्नॉलेज नहीं करना चाहते, तो कई बार होता है ना कि शक्ल देख के घबरा जाते हैं, दूसरी तरफ मोड़ लेते हैं, क्योंकि दर्द नहीं, they don't want to confront it.
जी हाँ मैम, मेरे से मतलब छोटे बच्चे भी बहुत ज्यादा डरते, मेरे पास तक नहीं आते थे। अब तो मेरी 23 सर्जरियां हो चुकी हैं, तो काफी सही हो गया है। और पहले मुझसे मतलब बड़े इंसान भी इतना डरते थे कि मुझे देख नहीं पाते थे, घबरा जाते थे, उनको चक्कर आने लगता था। लेकिन मेरी माँ और मेरा भाई और मेरे पिता, जिन्होंने मेरा इतना साथ दिया है कि मतलब बहुत ही ज्यादा, यहाँ तक मेरे रिश्तेदारों ने भी मुझे नहीं पूछा।
आपकी माँ?
जी हाँ।
माता जी, आपसे पूछना चाहूंगी कि हिम्मत कैसे रखी अपनी बेटी की?
बहुत ज्यादा हिम्मत रखी मैडम जी हमने, अब क्या करें, बस लड़की के बारे में कुछ बोला ही नहीं जाता है। अपनी लड़की के बारे में ऐसे सोचती थी कि मैं अपनी लड़की को सब कुछ बनाना चाहती थी, उसने 1 मिनट में मेरी लड़की की जिंदगी पूरी बर्बाद कर दी।
आप तो हिम्मत रख रही है ना कि एक दिन बेटर होंगी, लड़ाई करेंगी?
जी हाँ, मैं तो ये कहती हूँ कि मैं ही एक लड़की नहीं हूँ, ना जाने ऐसी कितनी लड़कियां जो इस जुल्म को सह रही हैं। पता नहीं कितनी ऐसी लड़कियां जो बाहर भी नहीं निकल पाती और बोल भी नहीं पाती हैं, अपने माँ बाप से मतलब कह भी नहीं पाती हैं कि हमारे साथ में ये हुआ है। वो अपनी दिल की बात तो किसी को सुनाई नहीं पाती हैं। दिल की बात क्या इंसान ऐसे खुलेआम बोल सकता है? कोई नहीं बोल सकता, कभी कोई अपनी दिल की बात ऐसे खुलेआम नहीं बोल सकता। हम अपने दर्द को बेशक इन शब्दों में बयां कर सकते हैं, लेकिन जो हमने सहा है, जो मेरे माँ बाप ने सहा है, उसे कभी भी कोई इंसान फील नहीं कर सकता है।
जो ये कमेटी की रिपोर्ट आई है, उसमें मैं आपको बताना चाहती हूँ कि अब ये रखा गया है कि जो एसिड अटैक विक्टिम है, उनको एक तो एसिड अटैक का अलग चैप्टर बनना चाहिए, कानून मस्ट रिकॉग्नाइज, लॉ मस्ट रिकॉग्नाइज एसिड अटैक। जस्टिस लीला सेन, इट्स अ हार्ट ब्रेकिंग,
रियली हार्ट ब्रेकिंग। दैट इज वन ऑफ द रीजंस व्हाई दे हैव इंट्रोड्यूस्ड द क्राइम ऑफ स्टॉकिंग। यू सी, आई थिंक दैट क्राइम्स हैव टू बी स्टॉप्ड एट द अर्लीस्ट स्टेज, फ्रॉम स्टॉकिंग, फ्रॉम लूरिड रिमार्क्स, फ्रॉम जेस्चर्स। पीपल बिकम मोर इमबोल्डन टू दे थिंक दैट दे कैन देन डू एसिड अटैक्स एंड रेप। So I think that's very important. Now, if he was following her for all these years, she could have complained of the act of stalking.
Yeah.
And things may have stopped there. And also we've introduced the question of compensation.
Yeah.
Medical compensation for someone who has this kind of an attack on him. Because I think the amount of money that's spent on medicines after that, I mean, it's just horrendous. Families get ruined in that process.
Gopal, if you just want to add to that, I mean, 23 surgeries, if your recommendation is accepted, then the man who did this would have to pay for all of those 23 surgeries.
Yes, yes. And not only this, we've also suggested that under Section 357, there should be a corpus which should be created by the central government and state government to deal with compensation payable to victims. Because we must understand that who is the person responsible for protecting women? It's the state. Now, look at her condition. Where is she going to go and complain? She will have to go and complain to a police station, to a police officer. Now, do we have any police officer who is going to be able to even understand what is stalking? Is he going to be able to even put that boy on an even keel and say that, look, don't come around like this, otherwise I'll take you into custody? Well, this is why we had to create a new offense of stalking.
Do you have a question?
Yeah. My question is to you. I have a domestic help, and she's going through a similar kind of situation at home. She has complained to the police a number of times. Her husband exposes her to matter of rape, stalking, abuse of all kinds. In front of her daughter, he's actually exposing himself. She has a teenage daughter and he exposes himself, just telling her that, I don't know where you go. Now the point is, if a woman like her goes to the police has told her, why don't you bring some hashish or something and plant it in the house, so we'll frame him. This is what the police said to her. She has no hope. The second point is that she says, even if I do something that they're saying, what do I do with my children? She has three children. She says, I'm working from house to house, earning a living. I've put my children into school. What do I do? This man is going to stalk me. He's going to abuse me. He might even hurl acid on my face. Yeah. What happens to my children? Even if you send her to a home, even if she's protected in a protected environment, how does she earn a living?
I guess the question is, Gopal, where is the safe space? It sounds like a beautiful concept, but in our cities, where or what is a safe space?
No, I think the point is extremely well taken. This is an excellent example which we had in our mind. Let's take a person who is actually a domestic help. She is being abused by her husband. She has three children. She can actually make a living and support the three children by herself if she had a secure space. Yeah. Now, who is supposed to build that space? Now, I agree. People think it's utopian. It is not utopian. It requires a bit of planning. It requires a bit of effort on the part of the state. Now, I'll tell you where things break down so that you understand where things have actually broken down. Things have broken down because of the fact that A, the domestic help, I mean, in your case, she feels helpless.
Yeah.
And this helplessness within codes is actually the helplessness being experienced by any and every woman. Now, we wanted, first of all, to remove, shall we say, this huge cloud of helplessness. Now, who is going to make sure that this takes place? It is the state. That is why we decided that we must have multiple provisions by which we are going to have, one, a charter, by which you have secure spaces. It's not that secure spaces cannot be created. Just look at it. You are, for the purpose of a Commonwealth Games, huge, shall we say, a jamboree. Yeah. Look at the kinds of huge multi-story flats you're prepared to build in New Delhi. If there is an audit of the unutilized public buildings in this country, in the district, you'll be surprised to know, forget Delhi. Look at the unutilized public buildings in the districts, in the talukas. You will be shocked to know that so many buildings can be utilized for the purpose of offering secure spaces.
Now, one of the things I want to bring up is secure spaces outside the home is, of course, a matter of urgent need. But what happens when the space you believe to be secure is actually not secure? And I'm talking about sexual violence within the circle of trust. In your home, in your family, your husband, your father, what happens then? I have here with me Preeti. Preeti has come and shared her harrowing story and her battle on the show previously. Preeti, just to, I know you're disturbed, we're all disturbed hearing Archana's story. What happened with you was that you discovered that the man you were married to was sexually abusing your daughter. How old was your daughter at that time?
My daughter was 4 years old when I found that she was being sexually violated by her own father. And the point I want to raise over here is that I went from pillar to post for 3 years in the courts trying to get security and safety for my daughter. She was 4 years old. She had no idea about what really was happening to her. And I'd just like to say that your report mentions about more effective monitoring of the lower courts as a responsibility of the higher courts. I faced a very, very insensitive, traumatizing and sexist attitude by the oral observations made by the judges in the court.
And he actually told you these things don't happen in India.
He said that these things don't happen in India, and he asked my husband, who I was saying had sexually molested his own daughter, why my husband doesn't want to keep me, as if I am a keep by him. And I mean, and this just went on. This is just two examples that I'm giving. So I'd just like to ask, is there a need for some kind of guidelines to be set for the kind of, oral observations and the environment that is presented to a person who goes as a victim? Because I felt as if I was the accused rather than my daughter and I were the accused.
Justice Sate, if you'd like to take that. The sensitivity of the judges, there have been other instances where we've had pretty bizarre statements sometimes made by judges in open court. They may not impact the eventual judgment, but they do seem to reflect a kind of attitude, and an attitude that completely crushes the person who's anyway battling so much.
I think this is an aspect we've also looked at as the question of how judges, policemen, should be sensitized. It's extremely important because, you know, they don't really understand. I'll tell you a small incident of the reverse, because people basically are good. I 40 years ago, I was driving a car, ambassador car, and it was late at night and I had a flat tire. I didn't know what to do. So I stopped a taxi and the Sardarji got down and he helped me change the tire. I explained to him. He also had an ambassador car, so he, and then at the end of it, he took 15 minutes and I offered him some money. And he looked at me and he said, "Aap to meri behan hai, aapki raksha karna mera dharm hai." He didn't take the money and he said, this is what a policeman should do and feel. This is what a judge should do and feel. He has to feel that, he has to empathize. He hasn't to talk like that. The question of the empathy has to be there. He must understand the pain of the other.
I was told by the SHO when I reached the police station was, why are you bringing this? Nobody will marry your daughter. My daughter was 4 years old. Her reputation will get tarnished. Yeah. Don't take this to the courts. So if the people I go to for my protection are showing this kind of attitude, what kind of confidence am I going to have that I'm going to get justice?
Okay, I'm going to go back to...
needs a little bit of change of the patriarchy system.
Little and bit? It needs a hammer to bring it down. Not just a little bit, a hammer to bring it down. I'll come back to you in just a second. I want to take a few questions from the audience. Gentlemen here in the brown coat. Go ahead.
See, the Hindi for patriarchy is Pitri Satta. It's not Pitri Pratha. Satta, as in oligarchy, diarchy, means rule. The father rules. Men rule. This space belongs to the ruler. So when the woman enters a space under somebody else's rule, then she is actually violating that space by being there. This mindset is endemic to our patriarchal system, which is why not just the SHO, not just the man on the street or the person on the street, it's even judges who display this lack of sensitivity. I congratulate you for what you have done by putting this report in the public space. But I think in a country where in academia, gender studies is not called a discipline but a perspective, we need to actually install it as a discipline across schools, across educational institutions. I come from, I teach, And I think that needs to also be spoken about in the public domain.
Okay, before
gender sensitization is
quickly.
I think it's a brilliant point.
Yeah.
Brilliant point. We have actually addressed this.
Yes. Yeah.
We have said that gender studies must be made mandatory. Number one. Number two, it should be introduced in schools.
That's right.
Number three, we have even said that in the process of socialization of boys and girls in schools, even in the rural areas, there are what are called gender transformative experiments,
yeah,
which you do through socialization.
Yeah.
So that there is an inherent respect which both of them start breeding for each other. Then we saw who are the violators, teachers. The teachers themselves actually sometimes give a message against the girl. So we said teachers have to undergo a certain curriculum and training. And as you rightly said, gender studies has got to be a major subject. And we have actually said that the curriculum must be amended and it should be no longer an optional subject but a mandatory subject.
All right, the young boy in the white kurta in the front row.
My name is Amitabh. I work for CSR. I do trainings with the police, in-service police people. When the induction training happens, what is created is an alpha male. The whole concept of alpha male in India is mard. What is a mard? We all know what a ridiculous definition that is. When they come to us, they already have these patriarchal notions where forget a woman. They will not even listen to her. All these matters that this is supposed to be a household. What ridiculousness. In that induction training, and this is something which I thought should have also been really highlighted there. In that induction training, we really need to make them gender sensitive to ensure that they are providing equal service to women. Instead of service providers, they are turning into service avoiders.
It's again a very valid point. We have dealt with it in our report as what we call as deconstructing the male stereotype.
Yeah.
We have said that the concept of masculinity within quotes itself needs to be revisited, particularly for the police, because they themselves have lost the ability to be in touch with, shall we say, the emotions of empathy. You know, it's interesting to note, we did some off-the-record interviews, and I'm grateful that people were willing to let their guard down and tell us they have actually smashed a portion of their psyche because of the stereotyping which is expected. And the police, you know, the senior officers and the peers, they expect and they reinforce the stereotyping. So I think this is one of the deconstructs which we have urged.
Okay, I need to take a break, but we'll take one more question. The lady in the sari here. Yes. Go ahead.
I'm Ruchika Sharma. I teach history. You know, my point is that we are talking about a safer space outside the home. In a socialization, home, family, these things are so badly, I'll use the word badly, ingrained. I'm very happy that we are even talking about the fact that family cannot always be the safe space.
Yeah.
But what about the majority of women who have been told that iske aage rasta nahi hai, iske aage aap bahar ja hi nahi sakte ho. Main padhi likhi hu, Delhi mein rehti hu, uske bavajood jo mujhe face karna padta hai. I can't even imagine in smaller cities what do women will go through. How do we create a safe space within our families, because it's very difficult before we turn families into safer space.
Justice, if I can ask you this, somebody said that your report calls for nothing short of a total revolution, and that's why I said, you said a little bit of patriarchy has to go, but to me and to her and to so many of us who know how entrenched misogyny is, how women are often carriers of misogyny because they're socialized, they're given the same, if there is an alpha male, there is also a woman who is socialized to want, desire, approve of, seek that alpha male. Mm-hmm. Women are very conflicted because they're a product of the same patriarchy. How does that change?
It can only change when you start right from the children. It's what your mother teaches you when you're small. शादी होगी तो आदमी अपने हस्बैंड की सब बात मानना अपनी सास की सब बात मानना इट स्टार्ट्स फ्रॉम देयर इट स्टार्ट्स फ्रॉम द इन फैक्ट इट स्टार्ट्स फ्रॉम द लालाबाइज व्हिच आर सन टू द चिल्ड्रन दे सांग राइट एट द बिगिनिंग टेलिंग हाउ वंडरफुल द मैन इज अ बॉय इज सो यू नो इट इज अ complete, it is a revolutionary change, and we want that revolution to happen, and it will happen, because I think the young people are going to bring it about, just as they brought about this change to get a committee to get us to write something, because I think that that has now, the time has come. They say the time has arrived, sometimes the time is now, you know, and that's
the time is now. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, why does the committee feel that rape should not get the death sentence? Why should the juvenile age not be lowered to 16? And what about
the remarks on the Armed Forces Special Powers Act and sexual violence in conflict zones. That's coming up after a short break.
You have reached out to my generation, giving me dreams that I can feel as an equal citizen in my own country. In future, I will not be questioned if I have a boyfriend. If I want to make life with him, I will not be questioned.
Watching We the People, we're discussing the far-reaching recommendations of the Justice Verma-led committee that, if accepted, will definitely be revolutionary and path-breaking. Gopal Subramaniam, one of the things you heard in the very emotive street sentiment was that as long as the death penalty is on our books, why isn't it applied to rape? Now, I've read the arguments that your report makes, but here's the question. I can share with you that as a woman, I can think of 10 reasons why someone may kill someone. I can't think of a single reason why someone would rape someone. Why did you oppose the death penalty for rape?
We first began looking at death penalty as a possible alternative. We were looking at what kind of extreme cases could qualify for death penalty. One is, of course, where the victim is injured, but is not injured enough, like, let us say, to be put in a vegetative state, like Arunda Shanbag. There, of course, the death penalty could be an extreme. So we had to, you know, exclude certain kinds of cases. We looked at contemporary thinking about, you know, about the giving of death penalty for rape. Now, we noticed that there were some judgments in the United States Supreme Court which said that this was disproportionate. Then we actually had a public hearing.
People opposed it.
No, and there I must tell you, and I think if anybody needs a huge round of applause, it is Chief Justice J.S. Verma and Justice Leela Seth. They won 80, I mean, Justice Verma celebrated his 80th birthday in the public hearing, and Justice Leela Seth, 82, both of them sat for 2 days, for 16 hours almost, continuously, to hear points of view. In fairness to all the people who represented the women's point of view, they said that there are certain important cautions which we need to bear in mind, that the rapist is as much a part of the society as we are, and we as women also have to take some measure of responsibility for this element in our society. They said we are not about reprisal. Women have a certain sense of dignity. Women are asking for due process of law to be enforced in a way that there is a secure environment.
Yeah.
By asking for death penalty, they felt that it might be counterproductive. They also spoke about the possibilities of reformation, which is indeed the underlying theory of criminology.
Hard to believe, though. I mean, yes,
I understand. But we also then found that if it was rape, which was followed by intention to murder, it would still attract death penalty. But where it is a case of rape followed by injury, where the intent is not clear, we then were wondering what should be the punishment. The women's organization said that the normal idea of life imprisonment, which after remissions means 14 years, was good enough. But we felt that no, it was not good enough, because we are seeing every day some gang rape.
So you've actually suggested.
So we went further, which was for the remainder of a person's life.
Justice Leela Seth, one of the other things that a lot of people wanted was that the juvenile age should be reduced to 16. And the reason this came up again and again was because in this Delhi case, one of the men, many people feel, will walk away very lightly because he was under 18. Now the argument is that if he can commit an adult horrific crime, why should his punishment not be as adult and as harsh?
So why do you choose 16? Why not 15? We have to decide a particular age. And the age of a minor has been decided at 18. If he is 2 months less than 18, he becomes a minor. If he's 2 months over 18, he becomes a major. It's unfortunate, but that's the way law is.
There has to be some age.
It has to be some age. That's one aspect. The other aspect is also, we looked at criminology and other aspects and how a child's mind grows at a particular age. And considering all those factors, we thought that the age of 18 should remain. The UN has also decided that was also indicated that the minor is at the age of 18.
Yeah. There's a family sitting next to me who had a young daughter who was gang raped. And one of the men has now gone to court saying that my punishment should be different because I'm actually under 18. They are arguing that this is just an excuse being used to actually evade punishment. So this also can happen. Madam ji, aap bataye, aapki beti ट्यूशन के लिए गई थी, शी वाज गोइंग फॉर ट्यूशन क्लासेस व्हेन दिस हैपेंड टू हर, और जिन आदमियों ने ये किया उसको, वो अब उनमें से एक कहता है कि भाई मैं तो 18 साल का ही नहीं हूँ,
उनमें से एक बोलता है कि मैं 18 साल का नहीं हूँ और मतलब मेरी सजा कम कर दीजिए, लेकिन मैं इस बात को मानने के लिए तैयार नहीं हूँ क्योंकि क्राइम तो उसने भी किया है, कुछ भी हो गया, बच्चे की जिंदगी उसने भी बर्बाद की है, उसको वही सजा मिलनी चाहिए जो बाकी और सबको मिलेगी।
आपकी बेटी की क्या उम्र थी जब उनके साथ ये हुआ?
उनकी बेटी 14 साल थी।
और आपको अब ये डर लग रहा है कि ये जो आदमी है वो झूठ बोल रहे हैं अपनी उम्र की, कि आप कह रहे हैं कि कोई भी उम्र हो हमें फर्क नहीं है, उसको वही पनिशमेंट मिलनी चाहिए जो बाकी को मिल रही
है? वैसे तो मैं झूठ बोल रहा हूँ क्योंकि सर्टिफाई नहीं हुआ है, लेकिन ये मेरी आम राय भी यही है कि चाहे वो नाबालिग ही क्यों ना हो, उसने क्राइम किया तो उसको वही सजा मिलनी चाहिए जो और सबको मिली है, क्योंकि वो बड़े और फिर उसको हम छोड़ देंगे तो बड़े होकर फिर वही क्राइम करेगा, बार बार फिर उसकी अपराध जो है उसकी दोहराएगा।
ओके गोपाल, क्विक रिएक्शन, देन आई
स्टार्ट विद क्लोजिंग कमेंट्स। इट्स अ वेरी वैलिड पॉइंट व्हिच हैज बीन रेज्ड। यू सी द फर्स्ट इज द पॉइंट इज वेल टेकन दैट मेनी पीपल हु आर ओवर 18 दे आर इमीडिएटली टोल्ड बाय देयर लॉयर दैट लुक आई मीन कैन यू सडनली बिकम 16? And the lady is right. I mean, that it's quite likely that he was 18 and he's trying to fudge some papers. For which purpose? There has to be an inquiry by the court. But one of the factors, which I must tell you, we looked at people at 16 and below, and we suddenly realized that what is it that society or state has done with this youth leading up to 16?
Yeah.
They have neither got direction. There are no schools. There are a host of factors which already show that at least up to the age of 16, whatever the state, you know, in terms of the constitution, had promised society has not delivered. We also had some neurological evidence that suppose, let's look at a normally embodied male child without any social disadvantage, and even in relation to 16 to 18, there is a body of scientific opinion which says that for cognitive decisions where total responsibility can be assumed, because there is still a growth of the brain which takes place in this interstitial period, it should be 18 in the context of this.
Okay,
Baka, one quick footnote. You must appreciate that we looked at all these homes which are the so-called juvenile homes,
and they're in a terrible state.
Terrible is a very, very, very mild word. It is appalling. It looks so sad that Parliament passes a law and you have homes, and in these homes children have jumped out of the homes and some of them have been sexually abused.
Point taken. And now I'm going to take a series of questions together, and then we'll just take last comments from both of you. The lady here with the sari in the front row. Yes.
My question is about Khap Panchayats. I was doing some research and I found out that the Khap Panchayat, their whatever ruling they give is not so much about honor. It's about, part of it is about the 1956 Inheritance Act, which makes women they have to inherit. It makes it compulsory, and so the atrocities against women has gone up as a result of that law. So the laws are there in place, and I'm just scared that more laws
will add to that. We're going to park that because I need to take a few questions together. The gentleman here in the front row. Yes.
I hope I'm able to convey my gratitude towards you. It is very emotional to me when I was reading it out. This is one of the rare moments when lawmakers have kept the citizens of India who identify themselves as lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender community citizens. We're speaking about empathizing and speaking about gender studies. So we have taken them into account. And I have a friend here. She was 16 when she was raped by her brother and his two friends. So they told her that because you had a school friend, we saw you kissing her, that's why we have raped you. They told her that, and she was so scared. She's 21 right now, living with her partner in Delhi. She opened up to me and she said that I had no one, and if I would have gone to the police, what would I have said to them?
And for you, and it's a kind of invisibility that that has been lifted today. For you personally, what does it mean for you personally?
For me personally, I believe that I have dream. I can dream for a future.
Yes.
Because my generation, you have, because of this report, you have reached out to my generation, giving me dreams that I can feel as an equal citizen in my own country, the rights that has been denied to me, all the previous generations who have suffered centuries of hatred. I believe that in future I will not be questioned if I have a boyfriend. If I want to make life with him, I will not be questioned. Thank you so much, sir. You have reached out to me and personally to all my brothers and sisters who suffered so much hatred, who cannot even go look at the police because of the stigma attached to it, and you've broken down that cycle of patriarchy, leaving all doors open. Thank you so much.
It's brave of you. How about a round of applause for him as well? I think you've echoed what so many of us feel, that we've derived hope from what both of you have said. We're going to take a couple of more questions. The lady here in the orange scarf.
I work with CHRI, a human rights group that works on police reform. I just wanted to make a few quick points on police reform. It's not that police reform has not started. 14 states since 2006 have passed new police acts. Many of these police acts actually have a lot of bad practice in them. This is all happening because states are not following the Supreme Court's directives, and the very, very important fact that these laws are being made very quickly and without any consultation. One thing about the committee's recommendations also is that it has to lead to further processes of debate, discussion, consultation. Yeah. We have to bring in transparency into governance, in the lawmaking, in policy.
Okay, I'm going to take just two more questions. I'm so out of time. I'm so sorry. The gentleman here.
It's distressing to hear the stories that have come up here. But law is generally going to come after a crime has taken place.
True.
Whereas the safety of women is going to be paramount even prior to an event. Should not there be an attitude to realize that yes, parental guidance and to a certain degree elderly guidance would also be helpful in a large number of situations?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is to start talking about sex. Not enough parents do that with their children. Let's just take a question here from the girl here, and then we'll give the last question here.
Just one experience when I was harassed with my friend in Lodi Garden, and when there was this woman who helped us to even take to the police, and we went to the police station, and that day I was really appalled because we could speak English, we were from a certain class, and the police, I could say that, you know, even when the management was, or that police in Lodi Garden, the guards, they come from private security, this thing, the manager is trying to say, oh, he is poor, you should leave him. I said, you're encouraging him, and you're encouraging this, and I would make a complaint against you too.
Okay, last word here to the girl in the green scarf.
You've managed to bring across how over the years, across the last 65 years, law commissions have again and again given the government various recommendations. Isn't it the biggest failure is of our own elected representatives? They have not taken into consideration the women vote bank.
Yeah,
because women, it seems, don't play any part in politics in a democracy.
In America, by the way, where I think the woman vote really lost it for Romney.
Yeah, you know? I mean, women are suddenly not paid any attention to.
Yeah,
that for 65 years it's being said again and again through 84 different commissions that laws need to change, and I would just like to thank you for bringing it to our notice that the judiciary and other people have been saying it, and someone has been saying it other than all of us women getting up time to time and being termed as bra-burning feminists, because. Yeah. Just asking for your rights is not feminism.
And what's wrong with feminism anyway?
No, there's nothing wrong with feminism, but I think just asking for my right is part of the
Absolutely.
Constitution.
Very last question to the young girl here in the brown sweater.
I actually wanted to ask about, because we didn't really get to discuss on AFSPA.
The Armed Forces Special Powers Act.
Armed Forces Special Powers Act. Does it mean that the review will also include, give, you know, rights to women in conflict areas like Manipur, Assam, or even Jammu and Kashmir? The right to self-defense also.
Okay, because, complicated question there, and I'm going to end with asking you about this, Gopal, because we're totally out of time. This is something that has disturbed a lot of people, because the Armed Forces Special Powers Act, we haven't even managed to reach a consensus within government. The army is vociferously against any amendments. You have said that sexual complaints and abuse in conflict zones should not need sanction for prosecution. Is this the one recommendation of yours that you think will have the least luck being accepted?
Well, I think I don't see any reason at all why this recommendation ought not to be accepted. Somebody attempted to portray as if this committee is trying to question the armed forces. Not at all. What we are talking about is not about armed forces. We are talking about erring individuals who are being accused of rape. There's no reason why they should not be tried according to the normal law. You know, we had heartrending testimonies before us from people from Kashmir, people from Chhattisgarh, people from Odisha, people from the Northeast. So we decided that that immunity must certainly go. We must also understand that as a result of the continuous presence of the army, people in these areas are totally alienated. I think we have to engage with people in these areas differently. The bright line of it, people in that audience who were in part of the public inquiry, the women, they said, forget security, forget your forces. We will take go into those areas and mainstream them. Now, when you have an offer like that, I think it's important for us to review the application of these laws.
Well, I think Gopal Subramanian and Justice Leela said, you have, as I said in the beginning, made us talk about things that we were too scared, too sheepish, too embarrassed to talk about. But that conversation is so important. But as Justice Leela said, the time has also come for change. And I think this is what the whole movement for young people was about. And if this were to end up being just another report that gathers dust and cobwebs in the corridors of power, it would defeat the whole purpose. It has been path-breaking. And I end today just, I think, by saying thank you from all of us for giving us belief that things can still change.